Hi, my name's Josephine Pembroke, and welcome to the Latte Lounge podcast with wonderful Katie Taylor, the founder. How are you?
I'm good, Josephine. How are you?
Very well. So what have you been up to? My usual question.
Well, it's been really, really busy in the lounge in May. We actually helped the Eva Pill, the launch on May the 1st of their Get Lippy campaign. And we got lots of our members to blow kisses on social media and tag five friends to text Eve Lippy. So if anyone still wants to do it, we've got another couple of days. Text 70577 to donate £5. And as you know, the Eva Pills, the Latte Lounge is a charity partner, and we help them raise money and awareness of the five gynae cancers. So that was how May began. We turned one this week.
Hooray!
So the Happy birthday to you. Well, the website turned one. Obviously, the group is 3 years old, and we're actually entering a new phase. We're going to redevelop our website, and I won't tell you too much more, but that's sort of our new plans. We also had two amazing Facebook Lives with Dr. Louise Newson, who you probably know is a menopause doctor. We talked about perimenopause and menopause, and all our members' questions, they sent them in, and she answered those. And we also did another one with Dr. Ellie Cannon, with all the sort of common sort of women's health complaints that come up on the group again and again and again. So those were fantastic, and it was great to see the BBC do their Wake Up to Menopause. Did you see it the week?
Yeah.
That was fantastic. And lastly, before I introduce my very special guest,
Who's linked to the menopause?
Yes, all will be revealed. I was actually very excited and humbled to be nominated. I just found out this week a finalist in the Empower Mums in Business Awards for the Latte Lounge.
Woo!
So very excited, and that's all about the community we've built and how we support women. So we'll find out on June the 29th. Anyway, the most exciting thing today for me is to end this month with and welcome our gorgeous guest, Andrea McLean. Hi, Andrea.
Hello, 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 hello. It was so hard to sit quietly and not cheer you with all those great things.
You're very welcome.
Yay for you. Yay.
Thank you so much for coming. And I really want to talk, I mean, obviously I want to talk about your live tour coming up, but I just want to ask you first, you know, we met a year ago and you helped me launch our website and you launched your new book.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to, you know, for people that don't know about the book, tell us how the year's gone and about the book and why you started it.
Do you know, it's fascinating that I can't believe that you're a year old in terms of the website.
Yeah.
Obviously, like you say, you've been going longer. The book has been out for, it will be a year in a few weeks.
Yeah.
The book itself, for those of you who don't know what it is it's called Confessions of a Menopausal Woman. And how it came about was because I had to have a hysterectomy in 2016. And when I announced on Lucemin that I was going to have 6 weeks off work because of this, 10,000 women got in touch. And it was, for me, it was a game changer. It was an eye opener. And I realized that there are so many women who just, they just want information.
Yeah.
Now, bearing in mind, this was 2 years ago. So the landscape was very different then. Mm-hmm. Not only was the menopause a taboo subject, it was a taboo word in terms of the media. It was never spoken about, and it was definitely not spoken about by a woman in the public eye. You did not admit that you were anywhere over the age of 12. You know, if you valued your job, you tried to stay as young as long as possible. So for me, there were sort of gasps. Why is this woman mentioning this? But I felt like I didn't have any choice. I worked in a live daytime show, and it was kind of pointed out to me that if I didn't say where I was, people would think I'd been fired. So I kind of had to. And also I realized that if someone like me who works on such an open platform is feeling that same fear of keeping quiet and not mentioning it, so, you know, it was like, don't wake the baby. Don't mention that word, because people will get upset. Men won't like it very much. You could lose your job. You'll lose your sense of identity, because I'm supposed to be seen as this perennially young, fresh thing. And I just thought, what a load of old nonsense that is.
Mm.
So I started getting in touch with the women who had got in touch with me. And I just said, what is it you want to know? What is it you want to share? And what is it you want to know? And that led to the birth of the book. Mm. So it obviously I then had to pitch it, and that was its own journey.
How did you find the right answers? Because obviously you were on a journey as well.
I was very, very lucky in that early on, just before I was told I needed to have the hysterectomy, and that was due to endometriosis, years of endometriosis. I was really fortunate that I was recommended on the NHS to go and see a wonderful doctor called Dr. Tina Pears. And so I went back to her and said, look, you're a menopause expert. How about you do the expert side of things, the medical side of things, and I'll give the kind of woman in the street version of things. And between us, we'll come up with a fully rounded picture where I will let women know that they're not alone, that their emotions, their practical symptoms that they're getting, their physical symptoms that they're getting is normal, and you can talk them through sort of what it all means and offer solutions. So that was how the book came about. And
so did you kind of tell people about what happened to you? Did you go into detail?
Yes. Yeah. It is extremely autobiographical because I thought the only story I can tell really is my own. But and it didn't come from a place of ego. It came from a place of, look, this is me sharing with you the full throttle awfulness of what it's like going into full surgical menopause. And it was awful, but not in
a... Very abrupt.
And severe. Yeah. And I think, and not at all in a poor me sort of thing, more in a, right, this is what I'm feeling, what can I do about it? I deal with most things in quite a practical sort of way.
And also, I think that's why our website came about. My journey was, obviously, I ended up a bit like you with a hysterectomy, but I actually, my symptoms, we've discussed this before, started a lot earlier.
Yeah.
And a lot of women, you know, on our group and the women who've written to you say that these symptoms of anxiety and low mood and lack of libido, you go from pillar to post. And now there's sort of obviously a whole sort of core of women that just like, it's enough now. We've got to talk about it and we've got to find the right support. So, you know, I think it's brilliant. You did it. I can totally relate to your journey. How's it been though? Has it been, I mean, I assume it's gone down really well, the book
It's been amazing. Yeah. It's been really, really amazing. Yeah. It's even the paperback was released a month ago, maybe a month ago.
Okay.
And that again has been a bestseller in paperback form, which I'm really, really, in fact, we've sold nearly the same amount of paperbacks as we sold in hardback, which is great. And it's only been out for a month or so.
Okay.
But in terms of how the sort of year has gone, what the book led to was forming thisgirlisonfire.co.uk. And that was because I finished the book and I thought, I've typed the end. I don't want it to stop. How do I keep going with this? And this is sort of how we got involved with each other, because we want to do exactly the same thing, which is just keep giving women the support they need, the information that they need, not just to do with the menopause. It's to do with making women feel supported, empowered, giving them tools and information, so that for me, when you reach this moment in your life, I'm 50 in a few months, so I'm kind of halfway if I live to 100, or I'm past halfway, you know, depending, you know, nobody knows when their deadline is. So for me, it's about when you reach this moment in your life, you're halfway through, you're not halfway done, and you've got this whole lifetime's worth of experience that's got you to this point. But it's also the point in our lives when we feel very vulnerable, we start to feel invisible, we feel like we're not relevant anymore. And for someone who has never been a rebel in her whole life, I've always been an extremely good girl, something has changed. And I don't care anymore. Yeah. I don't care whether you don't like what I'm saying. I'm going to tell you anyway. And also, God damn it, listen, because I know what I'm talking about.
I mean, I think it's interesting because I think people, women, you know, in the Victorian days, women didn't live past about 52 or 3.
Yeah.
And menopause was sort of later at 57, and that was it. And now, once we're all hopefully getting the right treatment and feeling better, I mean, I don't know if you feel this, but I turned 50 last month and I suddenly feel, oh my God, I've now got to do so. I really want to do so much. And so, you know, I you know, totally relate to where you're going. And I love the website. I love the name. I think it's, you know, it's fantastic.
Oh, thank you. And we love what you're doing, which is why we keep getting involved together in what you're doing.
The more of us women that, you know, I mean, it's wonderful because you're in the public eye. So it's, you know, I'm not saying it's easy, but in some ways, you know, people will actually sit up and listen. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm banging my head on a wall. But, you know, I think it's great. I mean, tell me, I obviously want to talk about, your live tour, because that is come from this. Well, why yeah. why are you sort of, what's the sort of thinking behind that?
Yeah. Well, I suppose similar to you guys, the website itself has hugely evolved since we first put it out there. Because when you first start a business like this or a website like this, we were very much a content-driven site, which was giving people not just information about the menopause, but allowing them to have a sort of voice and get involved and all this sort of thing. And we've had that opportunity to kind of stand back and think, right, now we kind of know who our audience is, what they're interested in. Let's totally revamp this and reinvigorate it. So we spent the past few months really putting a lot of feelers out into, right, how can we best deliver this? So the website itself is relaunching in June, sort of bigger and better and all this sort of thing. So we're going to have like a first anniversary party and this sort of thing. So we thought, that's the website. How can I also then celebrate the fact that I'm 50? I've got a birthday myself coming up, which is, you know, it's quite a key one. And we thought, we'll stick with the word confessions, because I've worked in show business for, well, I started in 1996, not on ITV, or 1995, not on ITV. But I've been on ITV for 23 years now, constantly, just whole time. Yeah, yeah. And all I've done is kept my head down, kept my nose clean, done my job, turned up, been a really good girl and all this sort of thing. And which is great. I'm going to carry on doing that. Nothing's changing. But I've always just been the quiet one at the end who, you know, I listen to the other ladies and I interview guests and all this. I've got 20 odd years of gossip to tell.
That's a very good reason to come to your show. Yeah, I'm coming. I want to hear it.
Exactly. Yeah. And I just think, I get stopped in the street all the time and women ask me, you know, who's your favourite guest? What's been your funniest moment and all this? So I thought, why not do, it will be like a one-to-one, but I'll be doing it with hundreds of you all at the same time.
Will it be like, is it going to be like you're a stand-up comic? Are you going to be standing up, sitting down? Are you going to have music? You know, I'm trying to imagine what your one-woman show is. Is it a one-woman show?
It is a one-woman show and it's an evening with, I suppose. Mm. And so it's an evening, you know, let's go out. You know, I kind of judge my favourite guests that I've had on the show is who would I then go and have a glass of wine with or a bottle of wine with.
And I hope you're having a glass of wine on stage.
Yeah, that's the only thing I've asked for. My rider is one of those posing tables with a, you know, lovely Chablis. that's all I've asked for. And basically, it is just me chatting with you.
Lovely.
And we also thought as well, what would be nice is while I'm confessing about all the, you know, all the behind the scenes stuff, talking about, you know, telly, giving the story about the book and how it came about and the website and everything else. But I thought, I'll bring my confessional on tour. So I don't just want me to be confessing. You know, as women, what we do best is talking, sharing, and this sort of thing. Yeah. So we're kind of putting the confessional in the lobby so that during the break, during the little interval, we want women, after a few glasses of wine and you're a little bit loosened up and you know that we are all friends together, and what happens in the confessional, it doesn't quite stay in the confessional because I am going to read them out. So it's not quite taking questions, but it's sharing
interaction.
Story. It's completely interaction.
It's interaction. Also, people can really say what they feel and think, because they're not going to be like a spotlight suddenly on them, quite nervous saying a question.
Yes, I mean, they can, you know, they can say, oh, you know, Mary from Bournemouth or whatever, you know, she did whatever in the back of a car in 1978. It can be, you know.
Good lawyers. So tell me, when's it kicking off and where, and how can people get tickets?
The tickets are all available on thisgirlisonfire.co.uk. We've kept it simple so they can come through to us on the website. Mm. And it's in October, which is when my birthday is. So it is actually, it is.
Oh, it's such a great way to celebrate, to actually do something. Yeah,
why
like that.
Not?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know, it kind of came about because, I don't know if you know, I did SAS Who Dares Wins.
Yes, and I want to talk to you about that. Yes, she's getting ahead of me. How was that? Because I read somewhere that you actually got quite unwell halfway through. So tell everyone about, so it's Who Dares Wins, and it was it ITV?
It was Channel 4.
Oh, Channel 4, sorry.
The programme is called SAS Who Dares Wins, and it was a celebrity special.
Yes.
And for those of you listening who think, what the hell, what is this? Basically what it is it's a programme where they take these four very handsome SAS men, and I can say this because Nick is sitting downstairs. Yeah. And there are these incredible men who are from the Special Forces, And they came up with the idea of, what if you took a bunch of people and put them through SAS training to see whether they would make the cut? And it's such a simple idea in theory.
Yeah.
And they decided to do a celebrity special. And I'm the oldest person to have ever taken part in this by a long shot. Because like I say, I'm 50 in a few months. The average age is either under 40, maximum maybe 42 at a push, and has all been men up until this point. Wow. So it was quite a big deal.
Yeah.
So I knew right from the off, I'm not going to be the fastest, not going to be the fittest. I'm definitely going to be the slowest and the oldest. But I thought, too often we only push ourselves to our own boundaries.
Yeah.
What will it be like for me to push myself to somebody else's boundaries, regardless as to whether I think I'm going to win or anything like that? My chances were very, very low, but I wasn't pitting myself against anyone else. I wanted to almost pit myself against myself to see what I was capable of. And so that was the spirit in which I entered it. Within 2.7 seconds, all that went out the window.
Where was it
filmed in Chile, in South America.
It's all hills there.
And well, basically what we arrived and we were taken up into the mountains. We had 3 days to acclimatize to the altitude. Also, it was very cold, thin air and all this sort of thing. And we knew at some point we would be abducted, but we didn't know when. This is what we knew.
Part of the thing.
Yes, we knew it would happen. And
God.
The producers were brilliant and they just didn't tell us anything. So we literally, when we got to the airport, we didn't know who the other contestants were and where we were going.
God.
So you just turned up and you're told, meet somebody by this place, and then they handed you a ticket, and that was how you.
So that's already terrifying, isn't
it?
Yeah, I'd be already on edge.
Exactly. Yeah. Your kids don't go off with any strange man.
Well, they had an airline ticket, you know, to Chile, so you know, it's like, okay, I'll give that a go.
Yeah, yeah,
and so we, on day three, I think it was, it happened, and we were taken to this place. As soon as we saw the driver's kind of demeanor change, we thought, this is going to happen now. We had thought it was going to happen about 100 times before. That in itself is hilarious. We had microphones put on us. We thought, right, okay, it's definitely happening. And then that was it. And basically, you get bagged over the head. You get driven off in a boat. You don't know where you're going.
Oh.
And you're trying to stay calm and think, okay, this is just a TV series. Just, they're not
really
hurt you. Yeah. And we sort of arrived at the edge of this lake. The boat scraped onto sand. We were pulled off the boat and the bags were whipped off our heads. And then next thing, a helicopter flew overhead and they just shouted, look. And there wasn't even a door on the helicopter. And it hovered about 30 meters above this very, very cold lake. And Ant Middleton climbed out and fell backwards and landed on his head in the water. And all of us just thought, oh my God, we're going to have to do that.
And that was an accident, was it?
No, that was what he did.
Yeah. Oh no!
That was him showing us, and within seconds we were being screamed at, and we had to get fully submerged and wet in the water before we went. We found out that the reason for that was it was so cold that if we'd hit the water dry, there was a chance that we could go into shock and you could drown because the cold of the water.
Jesus.
Next thing, someone's screaming, you're forced to run up this hill. There's a helicopter there. There is a man with a beard screaming things at you that you can't even hear and you don't know what he's saying. And then next thing, it takes off. All I could think of was, in a mum sort of way, there is no door. He's not even holding on properly. How are we not all going to fall out? And then next thing, he's screaming, get out, but with a lot more swearing. And I had to step out of this helicopter, fold my arms, fall backwards and land on my head.
Had you had any training?
No, literally, it happened exactly as I just told you. There's no health and safety. There was no kind of, it'll be all right, sweetie, darling, you know, telly type thing. It was literally, get in there and do that. And that was how we hit the ground running. So I instantly found where my boundaries sort of were. And I found that I didn't react very well to being shouted at all the time. But not in a how dare you way. Actually, in quite a horrible way, because it actually took me back to some really awful times in my previous life.
Not my previous life, as in
I was Cleopatra and I got shouted at.
Yeah.
I don't mean that.
Yeah.
As in the previous time. And memories, emotions, things
flashbacks.
That I had came, I had not thought of these things for a very long time, and they'd been packed away. And I did not respond very well to that. And they picked up on it right away. And it was like a sore being pressed. And what they then did was, if you watch the show, it'll all be clear. They take you into an interrogation room. And basically, they press that wound until you break. Which
what were they trying to interrogate you for? Because you were just, hello, I'm a nice TV presenter.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
I mean, what?
What for?
Yeah, no, but what do they want out of you? Is it just to make you crack?
Yes.
Is
that, but it with hindsight, it makes total sense. And there is a logic behind
it. Because they're training you to not crack.
What they're doing is they want to see where your break point is. Mm. And then when they find that, then they can work with you. Because actually they want you to do well, but they need to know where your breaking point is.
Did you find out quite quickly where yours
is? I did. Yeah. And what was, the only reason I'm sort of saying this is to explain how I ended up going on tour was because once I was in that room and what was shown was like a minute and a half, but actually I was in there for a very long time. And we managed to break down why I'd reacted the way I had, why I instantly felt terrified and wasn't reacting very well. And we broke it down and broke it down. And what they then said to me was, every time we shout at you, instead of reacting with fear, get angry. Wow. Show us how wrong we are. Push against us. And we'll enjoy that. And we will know that this is working. This is working.
Better kind of therapy, isn't it?
Yeah. It completely
like
was.
Positive therapy.
Yeah.
As opposed to sitting around crying.
It really, really was. Yeah. And for me, I ended up doing a whole lot of things that I never would have thought was possible.
And did you find your anger?
I did. Mm. And I...
Because that's unacceptable to be for a woman as well. We're not, as you said, yes. I was always the quiet, the nice one means you were always trying to be sweet and, you know.
Don't make a fuss. Mm. Stay quiet. Don't make a noise. Don't upset anyone. Mm. And
what women are told.
Yeah.
It is. And that's very much how I was I was brought. I'm still, but the thing is that it's also part of my personality and I am still very like that. But what I found was I'm not a lash out person, but what I could do is channel that and really push through. So I did some incredible things that I would never normally do, abseiling and face first off mountains and crazy stuff. But in the end I got hypothermia and I ended up being carted off the mountain in a ambulance.
Did you, so that was when you were abseiling?
Yeah.
And you just started feeling really unwell? And,
yes.
Oh, okay. And but, was there sort of medical help that said, actually, you now need to leave, you can't, or did you want to stay, or did you know that was it for
it,
you?
It was a mixture of all of those things.
You can die of that, though,
yes.
can't you? I mean, it's very serious.
Yeah.
You know, this is not...
People kind of bandy the word about, but it is incredibly serious. And
it's when your body temperature's gone too low, isn't it, inside?
Yes,
And you can't warm up.
It's interesting, because the worrying thing for them was I stopped shivering because I was shaking so violently to try and... I mean, I was shaking to the point of almost convulsing. It was beyond just a little shiver. And then all of a sudden I stopped shaking and fell down. And then that was when they knew, right, we need to sort of get her out.
Yeah.
So in a roundabout way, obviously I came back after all of that and it started a process of thoughts, recovery, really digging deep into, right, have I actually... dealt with everything that's happened to me before. I've just put it in a box and thought, right, I'm not gonna look at that anymore. And it made me realize that actually if I'm brave enough to experience what I've experienced, learn to kind of dig deep and push through, what else have I not done because I'm too scared of doing? And I realized actually I've been too scared to raise my voice in many, many ways. And one of those ways is just to stand on stage and just talk. I've got
You've got to have a nerve to do.
Yeah,
it's quite a scary thing.
I think that's why people love you so much, you know, because you are so likeable, but you're so open and honest. And I think, you know, a lot of celebrities, it's all very sort of, you know, it's us, me and, you know, it's us and them type thing. Mm. But I think that's why, you know, I know this tour is going to be so successful because it's people can relate to you, you know, and I think that's the beauty of, your presenting skills is that you sort of feel like, you know, you're one of us. And,
saw recently, but thank you very much. But literally this week, I ran a 10K in my pants.
Well, so that was Vitality. Is that for breast cancer research, or was that what's Vitality? 10K?
Vitality is for anything you want it to be.
Anything you want it to be. Okay, yeah. So well, tell us about that. Yes, I saw you running in your underwear.
It kind of comes back to staying relatable and this sort of thing. I was approached by the very lovely Bryony Gordon, who basically is a body confidence campaigner, a mental health campaigner, and she said to me, how do you fancy doing what I did last year? She ran the marathon in her pants and bra. to raise awareness of a body image, body confidence. We are what we are. Love your bodies and this sort of thing. And I just laughed and said no. And then I thought about it and thought, I can't be disingenuous because I can't say to women in the same way that I did with the book, oh, I'm all fine, everything's great, you know, the only way to get through, you know, the menopause is jog more and eat more kale, because that's just wrong. Actually you need to be honest about what you're going through. So for me, everyone's embarrassed about their body. It doesn't matter what your body looks like. There's some part of you that you don't like. So I kind of texted her back and I went, do you know what, actually, yes. And I've never run before. So before January, I am not a runner. I am not a runner. So I trained and trained and trained until I got to the point where I could run 10K. So when I kind of got to that point about 2 weeks ago, I was then thinking, right, I know I can physically do it, but now what do I look like in my underwear, not just
Hope you bought some new underwear, darling.
We all wore the same.
Oh, did you? Okay.
These big kind of knickers you'd wear at school. Yeah,
that's
like,
good.
Black PE pants.
Yeah, like your PE pants.
Thick, totally. Cotton.
Oh, I doubled up. I wore two. There's no way.
What colour was the underwear?
Black.
Okay.
Black. Right. Can't go wrong. Can't
more
go
flattering.
Wrong. Yeah. But again, even with that, I thought, you know, as a famous lady or whatever.
You're exposing yourself.
Yes, people can say whatever they like, but I know every photographer would be looking for my cellulite, for stretch marks, looking for wobbly bits, all that
your
sort of
your pants
stuff.
Falling down.
Yeah. Or going up your bum and all that. And can I just say, all of those things happen. And I thought, oh my God, maybe for the past 6 months I should have been having like treatment on my cellulite and doing all this. And then again, I thought, no, this is who I really am. There are degrees of cellulite, but I do have cellulite. And when you run and it pounds the ground, oh my God, every bit of cellulite shows. So I set off thinking, this is it. And that moment where you take your leggings off and your sweatshirt, you feel so vulnerable. And we had to do it literally on a bit of grass with the nation's media pointing their cameras at us. And Nick was so funny, he was like, babe, just turn around, you're literally bending over in front of everybody. Just at least, you know, turn around a little bit. I didn't even think, I just sort of pulled them down. And when I started running, yes, you feel awkward, yes, you feel embarrassed and all this sort of thing, but it ended up being a group of four of us. There were 800 of us, there were 17,000 runners, there were 800 of us that did it in our pants. And of course you all get split up, so I ended up, there was a group of four of us. And what then happened was this magical thing of, we didn't know each other. And I ended up running with lovely Gianna Fletcher, who is such a wonderful, warm-hearted woman, and a lovely plus-size model and a lovely lady who was very experienced in running marathons. And between us, we had totally different attitudes to this run. And we just chatted all the way around. And we had to support each other because some of us found it more difficult than others.
How long does
others.
10K take?
Just over an hour. It
okay,
really isn't, yeah. you know, it's not like a marathon where it's, you know, a huge amount of time.
Oh, sounds like a long way though, doesn't it?
It does, and it is. Yeah. But I can say, hand on heart, I forgot about thinking about photographers and everything else. And there's a photograph, obviously there were lots of photographs taken. I was not aware of anybody taking any. And there was one that for me completely sums up the joy of, you know, us running together. We were all different sizes, different levels of fitness, different levels of cellulite, you know, but all sharing a united thing. And there's a photograph of me going, with my arms raised. And that was because I had just seen Nick with 100 meters to go until we finished.
Oh, love him.
And he was like, Angela, Angela. So I looked over and I saw him. And wherever the photographer was, just captured that moment of joy of, oh my God, there you are. And we've done it. Yeah. And such joy. And for me, yes, okay, there are other less flattering photos. But that one sums up that kind of, realistic joy of, yes, I might be a woman in the public eye, and yes, there will be photographs that come out where I look lovely and I've been put in a nice position and, you know, everything is...
That's got to be the photo behind you on your one-woman show. Wouldn't it be really good?
The celebrity one. We're going to be showing, like, clips of the falling out the helicopter and talking through all of that. Yes, about the run. And it's just about, man, for goodness sake, I'm 50, I've survived life-threatening illness. I have survived because I was diagnosed with vasculitis, which is a
when was that?
At the same time as I had my hysterectomy.
What is it?
Basically, it's a it's a disease of your blood vessels where it causes your blood vessels to they fur so badly on the inside that it stops the blood flow to your major organs.
This is serious.
It's not a great thing to be diagnosed with. And so every year I have to go for tests to make sure that I'm all clear and everything like that. And so for me, I've survived a full hysterectomy, two emergency cesareans, a full abdominal repair because I was so damaged through childbirth and everything else. I'm covered in scars. For me, I had a little bit of comments on social media going, do you know, I'd feel more support for you if you were bigger, but the fact that you look like you're quite fit just makes me basically not like you because you're...
And you can't win.
I just, for me, I just thought, you're looking at this all wrong. I'm alive and I'm about to be 50 and I could be dead. So the fact that whether I'm large, small, tall, short, you need to embrace all body shapes. You can't pick and choose and go, well, that's the one we're going to champion and the rest can go jump.
You've really hit a nerve with me because, you know, without getting too deep now because we have running out of time, but I have battled with kind of my body image forever since I was 21 for various reasons, and it's always been a problem up until I turned 50. And a bit like you, hysterectomy, four cesareans, not that we're playing who's had more, you know. And I wrote a blog about a month ago about how I felt about turning 50 and the fact that I'd actually had 11 operations. And I suddenly woke up, I literally, it was the week of my 50th, and I thought, I actually don't care anymore. It's just so much, much more than that. It's not about how I look. I just want to be well for my kids, and I want to live this next kind of half century just doing stuff for me, for a change. I mean, obviously for everyone, but I think us midlife women, we do so much for our kids and our work and our parents, and actually it's time for us to kind of actually sort of be happy and, you know, in our skin. You know, nobody's, you know, it's harder for you because, you know, you get all this stuff on social media and it's hard, but I've realized as well, you know, you've got to grow a bit of a thicker skin and just think life's too short just, you know.
And again, this is where Nick's been brilliant, where he's gone, you need to split it into thirds. There will be a third of people who totally get what you're trying to do and they will champion you and they'll enjoy the journey themselves because they'll learn from it and it will be wonderful. There'll be people in the middle who'll go, I kind of get it, but I'm not too sure and I don't even know if I like her or not, but okay, I'll sort of half listen. And then there'll be a third who think, I hate everything that woman represents and I want nothing to do with her. That makes total sense.
Yeah.
You're never, and I realised I'd spent my whole life trying to make sure that everybody liked me and everything. Now that I've done that, oh, it's such a relief. Such a relief.
So what would your, because obviously our strap line is sort of, it's the Latte Lounge, because it was always about, you know, a bit like your kitchen table, women sort of sharing their conversations around a coffee shop. But the strap line top tips for women over 40, what's your sort of top tip for, you know, all the women on our group and obviously, you know, in your forum, you know, for living this sort of next, you know, half of life, hopefully, you know, do you have it?
For me, it really does come down to a few simple things. One, believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. If you don't believe in yourself, how can anybody else believe in you? It needs to come from within. Looking after yourself is not selfish. It comes down to that airplane thing where you put the mask on yourself first. You can't look after everybody else. If you are exhausted, scatty, because you're trying to do so many different things, do not feel guilty about taking your foot off the gas and, you know, I don't know, it sounds disingenuous to say go for a spa day. It can be anything. Go for a walk, you know, walk around the block. But my key thing would be just keep going. You feel like it's, you know, it's all over, I've got to this age, and, you know, either whether my kids are leaving home or, you know, my...
Yeah, a lot of people think, oh, it's too late for a career change. It's
never.
Too late. I keep hearing friends saying it, and I say, but we're only in our 50s. Yeah. What are you talking about?
I was speaking to a friend the other day. Sorry if I'm overrunning your time. And we were out for dinner, and we're all chatting around the table, and she said, oh, do you know what? One of my biggest regrets is never doing the marathon. And I looked at her and I went, you're 50.
Yeah. Do it.
What the hell? There are women who are 80 running the marathon. Yeah. She went, oh, it's too late to start now.
Too late, yeah.
And it was that please don't spend the rest of your life thinking, oh, well, I've missed my chance. I mean, what's the name of the author who started writing at 80 and became a multi...
Mary Wensley.
That's it.
Yeah.
I think, even though I can't remember her name because I'm menopausal, I think of her often. Yeah. There is no cutoff point for starting again.
It's amazing. Oh, listen, thank you so much. I could talk for forever, but just quickly tell us one more time, if people want to come see you on tour, it's the website's... I'll let you say it.
Oh, please come and see me on tour. It's going to be so much fun. Yeah. And it's not just going to be me standing on stage having fun and the rest of you just staring. It will be loads of fun for all of you. The tour is called Confessions, Andrea McLean on Tour. And you can buy your tickets from thisgirlisonfire.co.uk. And it's in October.
Okay, lovely. Well, thank you. And happy birthday for October.
Yeah, we'll see you before then.
So, yeah, please, we'll come up and we'll come and see you. So thank you, Andrea. And I'm just going to quickly talk to Josephine about June.
Exactly. You've got loads more coming up as usual.
Yes, it's exhausting. So we officially turned three in terms of the Facebook group in June. So to celebrate in the same way that we did with Andrea last year for our second birthday, we are having the spa day this time with Liz Earle, a panel of experts. We've got Dr. Louise Newson, Diane Zanzibrink, Jane Lewis, and the lovely Samantha Evans, who we interviewed last time. And we're going to have a fantastic spa day and wellbeing morning at the Grove Hotel. There are literally two tickets left. So if you want them, please email katie@lattelounge.co. We've got loads of new blogs coming up. I'm particularly going to focus on well-being in June because obviously, you know...
Bikini month. Well, even though I only wear one pieces now.
Yeah. Well, I'll start running like Andrea did. Maybe I'll get the confidence. So we're going to be... We're actually launching two new live lounges because it's well-being week. One in November, we're actually going to focus on women's mental health and supporting them, their own mental health, but also supporting their kids, because I've said again and again to you on the group, there's always women who are worried about their children who are self-harming or depression, and it's really sort of worrying. So we're actually going to put a group of mental health professionals together and give, you know, the women who come tools to not only look after themselves but their kids. And then the other thing we're launching in Wellbeing Week is it's about supporting women, you know, as Andrea was saying, back into the workplace, whether it's retraining, trying something new, or even volunteering, taking up courses. So that's actually going to be planned for next year. Loads going on as ever. And so thank you very much.
Thank you very much, both of you, for coming on to Radio Gorge today. Thank you, Andrea, and thank you, Katie.
Thank you.
The Latte Lounge on Radio Gorgeous, you're always very welcome.